A little bit more about this special day. So stay tuned. This day is just amazing. The cross stands empty against a crisp morning sky. The tomb, this symbol of death and closing in, stands empty, mouthing silence in the briskness of the morning. Angelic voices on the wind, we hear the echoes. He is not here. He is risen. Once again, we're confronted with the mystery and the wonder of this ever-creating God. The one who is always calling forth life out of death. The one who is always creating out of what was not, what is. And bringing forth blessing continually. The cruelty of the cross will not be the last word for this God of grace. No tomb can contain this life-giving force, and death is vanquished forever. And yet, as we look at the whole course of the gospel, as we've made this journey here through Lent, as we've come to this place, this remarkable moment in time, so much of Jesus' story is a story of failed recognition. So much of Jesus' story, his living ministry, his ongoing revelation of God, so much of it seems at times to be lost on the people around him. So much of it seems to be a story of people who are not yet able to recognize who it is God has placed among them, what it is God is doing in the gift of this one. Failing to recognize this one in their midst, even as they've traveled with him and seen him do things that defy explanation, even those closest to him, a failure of recognition. As Jesus began this week, descending from the Mount of Olives, the Gospels recount that he weeps. As he comes down from this elevated place and looks out across the depths of the valley Kidron and looks up at Jerusalem stretched out before him, he weeps. He begins to lament. Luke says, as he came near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you'd only recognized the things that make for peace. Yet not one stone will be left upon another here, because you did not recognize the time your God came to you. In Matthew's gospel, how often I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. Early in John's gospel, we read, he was in the world, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. His own disown him as this past week progresses, not recognizing him for who he is. This very moment, this very morning, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, honoring this one by whom she's been so blessed. The one that they had to hastily stow on the darkness of descending on a Friday before the beginning of Passover. Coming back the first day of the week so that she could do what was usual and customary. Prepare the body with ointments and oils. Prepare the body for burial. She fails to recognize him when she finds the tomb empty. And she's in earnest. I can only imagine the anxiety, the fear, and the abject sadness. The last thing she expected when she came to that tomb was to find him gone. A failure to recognize, even after this one has told them time and time and time again, I go to my death, but from that God will bring forth life. I will be crucified, but on the third day, I will be resurrected. All of the predictions, all of the prophetic statements that Jesus has made about this. And yet, coming to find the tomb empty, she is overwhelmed. John's gospel tells us she mistakes him for the gardener, which I think is entirely natural, and I do not fault her one instant for that. In the beauty of a morning, in the crispness of the newness of that day, who else would be there in the garden but the gardeners? Who else would be tending to all of the life and richness of that place but the one to whom it's been entrusted, the one who has taken up its care? She fails to recognize him until he speaks her name. Mary. And in that moment, everything changes. In that moment, her world is undone and remade. In that instant is recognition, and in that recognition is resurrection, not just for Jesus, but for her. And she goes a way that invites all of us to follow. I love this image. It's by an artist named Bruce Wolf, and he paints, it is a painting in the spirit and style of statuary. And you can tell when you get a closer look at it, you can see some of the fineness of the brushwork. But I love the way that it gives the appearance of something cast in stone. And yet, this fluid moment, it captures this instant of recognition. The look on that face says, Rabboni, teacher, master, savior. And her world is transformed. Jesus' resurrection is Mary's rebirth. Paul says it this way for us, you who were buried with him in baptism, you also are raised with him through faith in the power of God. Amen? Paul understands it. He understands it this way. We know that our old self was crucified with him. And we who have been united with him in a death like his are united with him in a resurrection like his. Today is the day that God speaks your name. Let's try it together. On the count of three, I want you to say your name out loud. Are you ready? One, two, three. Brad Hyde. That's exactly what that sounded like. Good job. In that instant, God speaks all names and proclaims all creation to be God's very own, blessed, beloved, and good, like a mother hen spreading her wings. In that moment of naming. He came to his own, though, John says, and his own did not receive him. But to as many as who would receive him and believe in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God. Even now, that power of becoming is unleashed in the world. On this Resurrection Sunday, we proclaim that as Christ has been raised from death, we too have been raised to new life in him. And he does not magically make us into something new. Because what is given, what is promised in the gospel, and what is given in this moment is very specifically referred to as the power to become. It is an invitation to engagement. It is an invitation to becoming all that God dreams of us being. In that moment, that power is ours. And now, to be lived into to be lived out in the midst of this world that is crying out for the revealing of the children of God. As Peter reveals, Christ, who was put to death in the flesh, is made alive in the Spirit. And that Spirit pervades all of creation, every life, every bit of the natural order, the cosmos in its infinite vastness and its infinitesimal smallness, all of it filled with the glory of God. But the question becomes for us as this story continues, as we continue to write the next chapter in the gospel. Will we recognize him? Will we see him as he is among us in this time? Will we see him in brothers and sisters of faith? Will we see him in people who have no sense of faith or spiritual life whatsoever, and no desire for it either? Will we see him in the faces of mighty and powerful people? Will we see him in the faces of the lowest and the weakest in our social orders and in the midst of our culture? Will we see him in the faces of the poor and the suffering? Will we see him in the face of the stranger, the other? Will we hear him and recognize him when he speaks our names and calls us to follow? That's the question that hangs in the still air this day. Will he recognize us? Will he see the body of Christ today in its sterling quality and in the marks of his passion still on the body? Will he see people living beyond themselves for the sake of others? Will he see the world that God so loves? And finally, will the world recognize him in us? In his church that struggles to bear witness to his goodness and grace, that strives for justice, that seeks to be the people that live out this power of becoming. Today, the risen one leads us into a new day. And to us who have been raised with him, he gives the power to become all as God has dreamed of us being. People of the resurrection, the children of God. Amen.